So this is the Monday night UK All Addictions meeting. It is the 5th of September, and today's speaker is Sarah L, and she's going to be speaking to us on more about alcoholism, part two, mental obsession, on pages 37 through 43 of the big book. So Sarah, would you like for me to give you a reminder at 10 minutes and then at 5 minutes left, or just 5 minutes and left?
Darla, just tell me when it's over.
Oh, okay.
That'll do. Yeah,
all right. Excellent. Then over to you, Sarah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So hello, everybody. My name's Sarah, and I am a compulsive eater and also a chaos creator. And that covers everything, really. And thank you for asking me to speak today and to speak about... Really, it's about the second part of step one. I was wondering what to do here. So we're starting at chapter three, more about alcoholism, and it's about the mental obsession. But it actually starts on page 23, there is a solution. So I'm just going to put this in context a bit. So that's where we start with the second part of step one. So we looked at the physical allergy, the physical side of things, coming to terms with that. And now I'm being presented with, well, actually, the main problem is my own head. Okay, so that's where, and then it's starting to acclimatize me to, well, okay, you know, what kind of thinking do I have? And on page 25, it says at the bottom of the paragraph, okay, we had but two alternatives. One was to go onto the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. So I've heard people talk in the rooms about, they talk about option A and option B, or there's a door one and a door two, and we're always trying to find option C or a third door, a third option. So, and I didn't put the two together until very recently, but this is, for me so far, this is the first time I've been presented with this proposition, this reality, that I have two choices now. And we can use different words for these. We can use for being self-reliant or God-reliant, playing God or doing God's will, an alcoholic-style death or living on a spiritual basis, or a resentment way of living or a God-reliant way of living. And in a way, those words don't really matter. It's like a formula, an equation being presented to me, as in it's either this or it's either that. So with me being an addict, and I could just imagine someone talking to me, it could be Bill W and Dr. Bob, and I'm in bed and they're saying these are the two alternatives, and I'd be nodding very politely. And in my head, I'll be saying, well, we'll see about that, shall we? Okay, so we get to... So I'm just going, I'm nodding and I'm complying and I'm thinking, I don't know about that. I'm not really falling for that little game. So here's, for me, this is the first 100 people. This is Bill W going, I think I know what she's thinking. So let's give her more examples. Let's see what, you know, how this mind really works. So here we have this more about alcoholism. So the work that I have been doing. So basically, I was asked to transcribe with these couple of pages in more about alcoholism, about where it says most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. So I'm saying I have been unwilling to admit that there's no third option. So I'm just going to read a few of these paragraphs in that fashion. So just to really bring it home, the fact that there are two options, Sarah, not three or four or five. So here I go. So I have been unwilling to admit I don't have a third choice. And I don't like to think that I react to life differently than normal people. And I can find many examples of trying to find a third choice that never worked. And the idea that somehow, someday, that I'll be able to have power and control and enjoy my life is my grace obsession. So in that sense of somehow, someday, I'm going to make this third choice work so that I don't have to choose option A or option B. I can transcend those. I can get over those. Okay. And this is my grace obsession. This is the mental obsession, is it? That's the grace obsession that I have, that whenever any reality presents something to me, I'm going to do my darndest to find another way. And the persistence of this delusion, this illusion, is astonishing. So astonishing that it can take me to the brinks of insanity or death. And we can look at those words, we can look at those literally. So, you know, have mental health issues, we can have a physical death. But I can also be this, just this lack of reality, being in reality, and a spiritual death. So when I'm in self-reliance, it's pretty much a spiritual death. So I've had to learn that I had to accept at the deepest levels of my consciousness that I'll never have a third choice. And I'm just going to pause here because I want to and I need to let that sink in, because if I am accepting this at the levels of my consciousness, this isn't something that I can just read, say, okay, and move on. This has really got to go into the heart now and into the gut. It's all levels that have to come to this realization. So, because otherwise I'll be doing that nodding again. So the intellect will be complying and agreeing and saying it makes sense, but other parts of me are already planning another way as to how I'm going to get around this problem of living really. Okay, so I'm never going to have a third choice. So I don't really like people using my strategies against me. So I'm an always or never person and a forever person, and this is how my mind works. You know, I'm never going to do that again. This is the way it's going to be forever. But when someone actually presents it to me, I don't like that. This is when I'm trying to find the wiggle room and really, really trying to find the disclaimer, the caveat, the back door, the trap door, any way that I can get round or out of the reality of this situation. And I have to say, I think she's really, she's very resilient with that. She's very resourceful with that and very creative with that, and uses a lot of energy to try and just get around or out of the reality of the situation. So I'm never going to have a third choice. And this was a required step in my recovery. So this is the first step in my recovery, is to acknowledge I've got option A or option B, and what is my choice to be. So this lie, this delusion that I am like other people, or that I could be, or that I might be one day, that's got to be smashed now. So I find that quite hard hitting. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting much better at that. Of being able to sort of being told that these are the two options that you have, and that really they say that option C is really option A in disguise. It will, or it will lead me back to option A, and that option A is the self-reliant way of living. Okay. So okay. So I'll carry on. So people like me, I'll never be able to control life the way I want to. And I never get back control. Okay, so when it says we know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control, so someone like me will never be able to have an option C. Okay. And sometimes I felt like I did, but that didn't last long, and I always ended up worse off than before. Okay, so where it says here, I felt like I was regaining control. I felt like I had an option C. It was starting to work. I was starting to see it work. and then didn't really last. And so I ended up in a worse situation than before. So in terms of, you know, spiritual malady, in terms of, a spiritual death, I was just becoming more and more lost in self, really, which is further and further away from God, further and further away, from this power, that is connected to all things, So it ended up in me doing things that I didn't want to do for reasons I couldn't understand. So I could never understand that. I can't understand that cycle. I can't understand the obsessing of looking for a third option, believing I've got a third option and then it not working. I don't know why that doesn't work. I don't know why that equation does not work. Okay. And I see that this is a spiritual sickness and that over time I'm getting worse, not better, at controlling my life using my own power. Okay, so what they're saying here is it says we are convinced to a man that someone like me is in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, I'm going to get worse, never better. So this obsession for the option C is actually, it's going to be my undoing if it hasn't been already. And it doesn't get, the more I practice the option C method, the worse it's going to get for me, better. So this is interesting for me because about practice, practice is meant to, you're meant to improve, you're meant to get better. But my practice of option C actually makes my life a hell of a lot worse.
Well, no more.
Yes, Michelle. So then we're on to our next line, which is we are like men who have lost their legs. Okay, so let's see what I've got here. Okay, so this for me, it says here that I've lost the ability to control my eating, my life, my overthinking, my thinking in general, my perfectionism, for example. So what this is saying to me, if I'm using the same analogy about the third option, is that I'll never get to a place where self-reliance is going to work for me now. Okay, so for me, this is another place where I really, really have to sit with this, sit with the analogy, because I like the analogy as well, and about I'll never grow new ones. So I'm being told once again, it hasn't worked for me. It's not going to work for me. It's never going to work for me. And I need to be with that. I need to be with that reality. So for me, a lot of this is about contemplation now of the reality of my situation. So, and part of this, as we know, is about accepting that I am an addict and what that means and all of what that means. So part of what that means for us here now is the mental obsession side, is the way my mind works doesn't work for me. It doesn't work in my favour in the long run. So I'm having to really sit with that because I've not really been told that before. And also, it actually shuts the intellect up and gives the chance for the other part of me to start responding to this reality. And that for me is when I feel like I'm touching on a universal truth in this book, is when I actually don't have anything to say or respond to. So there's other parts of me now that are starting to connect with this reality. And this is when I'm starting to know that this is something, this is big, and I need to start paying attention now. Okay, so I've only got a minute left. So let's see what I'm going to do here. Okay.
You've actually got about 5 minutes, Sarah.
Oh, thanks, darling.
20 minutes, yeah, okay.
So I've got to believe now. I've got to start believing that anything I do, any place I come from that isn't God reliant isn't going to work for me. So we've got this in a few pages later on, it talks about, you know, this lurking notion. So what I said at the beginning about, well, we'll see about that. That's this lurking notion that, well, self-reliance used in the right way, in the right place, at the right time is going to work. So that sort of, that perception, that philosophy that I've got in my head, that needs to be smashed. That needs to be deconstructed. That needs to be set aside. Yeah, so quite frankly, I'm sitting here and I'm, for the first time, I can't come up with a response. I can't come up with a quick-witted answer or even a humorous answer, you know, a funny answer as to what I'm going to do with that reality now. Okay, so it says, neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make someone like me, like everybody else, like normal people. I've tried every imaginable remedy, and in some instances there has been brief recovery, followed always by a still worse relapse. So physicians who are familiar with my compulsive eating or my addiction agree there's no such thing as making a normal person out of an abnormal person. Science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. So once again, here it is, it's saying, if I'm identifying with the fact that I'm not a normal eater or I'm not normal in the way I perceive the world, there's no such thing as making me normal then. That's it. So, and I think, let's just see what the next paragraph is. Okay, so then it says, despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics, someone like me, are not going to believe they are in that class. So then it will talk a bit more about, okay, we're going to try everything we possibly can to prove that wrong. So, and I think that's a good juncture to leave that there. Okay. So thank you for letting me share, and I look forward to your shares.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording since we only record our speaker and not Bruce's shares.